Welcome to Studio Tulsa on Health. I'm John Schumann, sitting in for Rich Fisher. Since 2011, the U.S. faces 10,000 baby boomers turning 65 every day. That will continue until the year 2029. It's an enormous challenge for the healthcare delivery system. In addition to the flood of baby boomers getting older, more of their parents are alive than at any point in our history due to a combination of medical, nutritional, and economic factors. What happens to aging baby boomers who have parents to care for? How can they best navigate the pitfalls of Medicare, insults to their own health and bodies, and still advocate for parents that are becoming increasingly frail? My guest today, Tulsan Tracy Davenport, is a nurse by background who spent years practicing before eventually becoming a case manager, a role that nurses are ideally suited for. Nurse case managers can assess patients and make appropriate referrals to community-based services that improve health and lessen the likelihood of aggravating illness or hospital readmission. 15 years ago, she developed a vision to become a different type of case manager, what she calls a care coordinator, using her medical knowledge and business skills to work directly with clients instead of on their behalf for a hospital or insurance company. In this way, Davenport works to directly help baby boomer clients with aging parents navigate the health system, providing consultation, service recommendations, and coordinating the care between doctor's offices, hospitals, and rehabilitation facilities. She even accompanies clients to their parents' medical visits, or, in effect, serves as an interpreter in medical settings, be it in the doctor's office, on the web, or in hospitals. She came by the studio to discuss her vision for a more coordinated, rational care system through leveraging her own expertise and compassion. She's our guest today on Studio Tulsa on Health. Tracy Davenport, welcome to Studio Tulsa on Health. I want to start by asking you what a healthcare coordinator is or does.
I'm somebody who a client or a family member would hire to help them navigate the medical system. As we all know, it can be pretty complicated and pretty complex. I would first assess the client and what their expectation is for my role. And then the family members who are also very much involved, or perhaps not, would also weigh in with their expectations of my role. I would then assess the client and find out specifically what those needs are. I come in at a time that generally people are very overwhelmed. They're fearful. They're anxious. They are very confused often because they don't know who is in charge, who is doing what. They have an overlap of physicians or an overlap of healthcare providers, which means there's often an overlap in medications and protocols, and they're not sure who to follow. So I come in and I offer some suggestions as to how can we consolidate some of this care, how can we prevent any risks from this overlap. And basically, they're in a situation that can be burdensome, and I want to lift that burden for them. So that's essentially what I do.
So then is a typical client a caregiving son or daughter of like an aging parent? For example, we talked offline, a baby boomer aged person who has an aging parent, and the client is actually the caregiver in your case. Your client is the caregiver, not necessarily the elderly parent. You're not providing direct care to the suffering individual, but you mentioned that the caregiver may be overwhelmed and it may be a change in their parent's condition. They may be gradually declining. They may have had a hospitalization or a health crisis, an event, and now they're struggling to figure out how to make the next set of big decisions. Is that?
That's right.
Okay.
So it can be either the client or the client's family members that contact me for help.
Of the clients that you've had in your experience, you know, what are some of the thorniest issues you come across? Is it helping with end of life care, with, you know, folks who are very infirm and figuring out what to do then, or is it folks who are not, you know, just having a sudden setback who want to get back to their previous level, or all of the above?
I think it's all of the above. I think it's families and clients who, as I referred before, who have numerous physicians and healthcare providers. It's wondering who is in charge. It's people who are wondering if the physicians are talking with one another, and that's something that I make sure happens. The communication is probably one of the biggest thorniest issues. Clients can get very confused when they leave a physician's office with all the information that's relayed. And the question I have is that client relaying the information accurately to the family members? Are they receiving that information accurately from the physician? Again, it all stems from communication and issues with communication. A lot of times the clients will have symptoms that they deem aren't important. So they've already decided that it's something that they're not going to discuss with their physician. And that decision really shouldn't be something that they've decided. They need to relay as much information as they can. Do they know the right questions to ask the physician? There's a generational sort of precedence right now with the baby boomers and the aging population because they're of the mindset that doctors are very, very busy, which they are, but that they have their little moment in time during the appointment that they have, and they're scared to infringe on that time. So they may not ask the questions that they need to ask. They may not ask the right questions because they're not medically equipped to do so.
Will you offer a script to your clients? In other words, before they go to the visit, you'll say, here are some questions you should ask given your mother or father's condition. Is that something you provide?
Everybody who goes to a doctor's appointment, and whether you're medically equipped or whether you are not, whether you have knowledge or not, you need to write down your questions because 9 times out of 10, in the anxiety of the time constraint and the nervousness of being at a physician's office already, takes over and you forget the questions that you had thought about at 3 o'clock in the morning or 2 weeks before. So you need to write those questions down so you are prepared.
So as part of the service, besides scripting and communicating and streamlining the communication, can you or are you able to also accompany clients to visits?
Absolutely. That's one of the things that I do, and I find that really integral to my role because that way I'm in real time. I can ask the questions that may not be thought of by the client. I have some expertise in the medical field, so I can, and the pathophysiologies, and so I can ask questions that may come up in my mind that may not be something that would arise from the client's mind. I'm there as a trusted, hopefully a trusted person who that client can say, I know that if I don't get everything just right, then Tracy will.
You're listening to Studio Tulsa on Health. I'm John Schumann sitting in for Rich Fisher today. My guest is Tracy Davenport, who is a longtime nurse who has started her own business as a healthcare coordinator. She's based here in Tulsa, but has clients really all over the region. And you said that, Tracy, that you will accompany clients to visits. And I'm wondering, how are you received in the exam room by, say, a doctor when you're accompanying and they say, well, who are you? You know, you're not a family member. Are they receptive to the idea of the healthcare coordinator? Or is that something that seems kind of foreign to them, or, you know, we need to get used to that as doctors?
That's a great question. It varies from physician to physician. In my practice, what I make a point of doing is meeting face-to-face with every single one of the healthcare providers prior to going in for an appointment with my client. That way, I've established a rapport already with the physician. After that, when I show up to an appointment, which of course that is only with the medical release that a patient or a client has signed, which I can then show to the physician that I am somebody who this client is willing to talk with and be privy to that medical information. Once that has been established, most physicians are actually very happy to have me there because I often will know that client a bit better than they have because I've spent a lot of time with them. So they're looking to me to communicate what they're talking about in a way that that client can understand it, which is so important, and to clarify any confusion that they may have.
So I'm almost picturing you as an interpreter,
yeah,
almost
in
where the physician,
ways, yes.
The doctor might be grateful to have you there because you are in a sense allowing the doctor to speak in jargon instead of sort of patient-centered, normal, layperson English. But you almost provide this facilitation where, because of your medical background and experience, the physician can simply say this, that, and the other, and then you have the time and space perhaps to explain things better, since you also know the client, you know at what level they want to hear, have the information relayed. Is that?
That's absolutely right. I think often the best conversations are after the appointment, when the anxiety level goes down, and that client and I can discuss, go back and discuss everything that happened in the appointment. And the other part to the physician, helping the physician, is often they have no way to follow up with their medical plan. So in other words, once they have discussed what they believe is the best medical plan for a client, there's nobody really following up with that until the next appointment. And sometimes it's critical to keep them right on the track, right track, right from the beginning, and not wait until you find out at the next appointment that, you know, Sally hasn't been taking her medicines the appropriate way, or, you know, whatever.
I'm curious about sort of the shape of the business model. That is, how often will you interact with a client? Is it at the client's behest? Like, in other words, they call you and you're sort of on a retainer, or do you check in with them on a weekly basis, or as things may crescendo to a medical test or a medical appointment, do you spend more time with the client? Or how does it work, kind of the nuts and bolts?
The higher acuity of the patient, so in other words, when the need is greatest, obviously my time will be expended more in that to that patient. Every client is going to be different. Their needs are going to be different. Their personal emotional needs are going to be different. Their family needs are going to be different. So I treat every client and their family with that in mind. I then will meet them in whatever need they have. So typically, if there is not a particular health crisis at the time, I will check in with that client at least twice a week, if not more. They will also know, however, that I am available to them if something were to arise. And obviously, if we're working through a particular matter in more depth, then I would be in communication a lot more than that. So I'm hired, yes, as a retainer and also on an hourly basis, depending on the situation.
And if one of your clients has a loved one, they're, you know, the person for whom they are caring, that is hospitalized, is that part of the idea too? You'll actually go to the hospital and just sort of coordinate or help coordinate the care that's going on there too, especially in regard to discharge planning and kind of, as you talked about, coordinating, say, medications. So oftentimes what I see is a patient comes to hospital, they're on medications that they take regularly at home, they go to the hospital, and for a variety of reasons, some of those medicines are held or discontinued. The hospital formulary may have different medicines in the same class. And then the patient's going to go be discharged, and the simplest thing is to just resume the home medicines, but often the medical condition will make it so that can't be the case. So there needs to be changes, but often I think the patient themselves or the caregiver gets very confused, understandably, because they get mixed messages about, well, do I take the old medicines, the new medicines, or what combination thereof? And so I could see how you being there would have extraordinary value in terms of avoiding that, because there are often lots of unintended medical mishaps that happen that way.
Absolutely. I totally agree. It also goes back to the question of what sort of tip would you tell somebody who is in this position? And again, one of those things is that everybody should have all of their medications written on a list, what their doses are, what the medicine is, what their dose is, when they take it, what it is for, and any side effects that, you know, major side effects that may occur. And keep that updated and keep it with you at all times. So in your wallet or whatever, have somebody else, a family member, also have that list, or a good friend that may end up accompanying you to a hospital if there was a crisis that occurred. unfortunately, too many people, we keep it in our heads thinking that surely we'll know. But by the time we get to a hospital, we're either in a state that we too cannot communicate what that list of medicines are that you're on, but also nobody else seems to know it. If you have that list, you can at least pull that out, or your friend can pull that out for you. Going back to your question, I believe that everybody should have an advocate, have a healthcare coordinator, whatever you may want to title that person as, to be with them in the hospital. There are medical mishaps, but there's also a communication that goes on a daily basis between the physicians and the patient. And the patient, again, may not be in a state that they can understand that. They may be on medicines, pain medicines or whatever, that they're unable to process that information. And an advocate would be there to listen to that information for them, again, help the patient understand that. And I'm referring to them as patients because when they're in the hospital, that's what they are. As far as the discharge, that is really critical to be there during the discharge because that is when they receive all the instructions on what to take, what to do when they're discharged from here. The healthcare coordinator is somebody who can make that follow through with that plan of action. In the hospital, you often will have case managers who are trying to set up some of those services that might be needed following discharge. You as a healthcare coordinator are the one that is making sure that those services are actually coming to that client. So if there's home health care that's required, is that home health care getting on the ball right when they're discharged? Is there an occupational therapist to come out and look at their home to make sure that they're safe? All of those services need to be watched closely.
You're listening to Studio Tulsa on Health. I'm John Schumann sitting in today for Rich Fisher. My guest is Tracy Davenport, a Tulsa-based healthcare coordinator who has a background in nursing, a longtime nurse. And Tracy, you are now a healthcare coordinator, but you alluded before the break to a case manager. So hospitals mm-hmm. employ case managers to help with discharge planning, and you said in your role as a coordinator, you essentially work to make sure that those plans become effective and are in a coordinated fashion. How did you get into the coordinator role? I mean, what led you to have this vision of, you know, I look at it almost as like a guardian angel, because you mentioned that everyone needs an advocate, and I couldn't agree with you more, but too often the family member may be too confused, too emotionally burdened, too, you know, just maybe extraordinarily difficult, or the caregiver has children of his or her own, a job to hold down. So it becomes very difficult for the caregiver to be the advocate. So having someone with medical expertise like you, and it sounds like coordination expertise, is very valuable. So where was it that you developed that interest or that vision and doing it on your own, which is so interesting?
I have been in all facets of this particular job. So I have been a patient myself with significant healthcare issues and recognizing the absolute need to have somebody else there. And even though I am a healthcare person and I understand the language and I understand disease process and all of that, I am an individual who gets anxious before I go to a doctor and while I'm talking with them. I'm anxious about what the future holds, anxious about doing this all alone. These are all very personal things to me. In addition, I have been the caretaker for my aging parents who live actually in Maine. My mother is deceased. My father, who is 87, so from afar, I have had to play the role of healthcare coordinator, which means I am talking and following up with my father's physicians on a regular basis, all of them. If he needs to see a specialist, I make sure that that happens. I make sure that there are eyes and ears for me at my father's location. Even if it's a caretaker who isn't medically educated, that caretaker is still somebody who's going to come in and look at my dad, assess him, make sure that everything is okay, the eyes and ears, and I just keep a very close tab on my dad. But I worry, and so I know the worry that people have when they can't be with their loved ones at all times to make sure they're getting what they need. I know that anxiety. I know that worry for them. The other thing is that I am a mother who has also dealt with my child, who is now 25, and raising her with some significant medical issues. I've been, again, thrust into that position where it would have been really helpful to have somebody else there to help coordinate some of the care that was necessary.
Wow. So, I mean, you really highlighted it. You have it extremes of age. I mean, you talked about your child. You talked about your aging father. You talked about yourself. So really, it's that that middle place, as it's called. There was a book to that effect where, you know, caring for children and for the aged parent. And so you've then taken your professional knowledge and sort of bundled it into something to help other people. It's very admirable. You mentioned before about how important you thought it is as one of your tips that people should have their list of medications, doses, reasons for taking, any side effects. Were there other tips you had? Like, you know, I essentially wanted to know what were Tracy's top three things she wished her clients knew before even calling you for help?
Well, I think I've pretty much mentioned them in our discussion, one of which is the medication list. And again, the communication, make sure, don't ever assume that the questions that, so if I call my dad and I know he's going into a doctor's appointment and I say, Dad, would you please make sure you ask the doctor X, Y, and Z? And I'm assuming that he will ask the question in the way I asked it to him, and 9 times out of 10, he will not ask the question because he didn't think it was all that important after all, and or he forgets to ask. And so in my follow-up, I'll ask him, and my assumption has been totally wrong. He hasn't asked the question, and then I need to take it from there and go a step further to contact the physician myself. But that is something, don't assume that the communication is happening accurately, properly. Again, I would absolutely recommend that everybody, if someone is one of your loved ones is in the hospital, to have somebody there who's checking in on you on a regular basis. If a family member cannot be there, then a friend or a church member, or use your resources. There are people out there who really want to help you in that situation, and don't let your pride stand in the way of doing that.
Would you be willing to share a story or two with us? I mean, certainly de-identified of a place where you made a big difference in a client's life. In other words, you know, some kind of medical miscommunication was happening and you came onto the scene and were able to coordinate things? Or is it more of a lengthy process that doesn't, you know, that's more of a gradual process instead of, you know, sort of these periodic highs and lows that we, you know, medical drama, so to speak, that we like to hear about? You're not aiming for the cure, really. You're aiming for really this almost satisfaction of a job well done, of people getting the medical care that they need, getting to the places they need, the services they need. And I suspect having almost an encyclopedic knowledge of what services are available to people, because of course, depending on what insurance they have, or if often the clients you have are caregivers of elderly loved ones, we're going to be dealing mostly with a Medicare type situation. So having an understanding of that and how the rules change. And one thing I also wanted to ask, stacking it up here, how do you see the Affordable Care Act impacting your business? I mean, is that something that you see? do you see your business growing as a result of that, or is that really almost, you know, something that's happening?
There are a lot of questions in that one question, John. One of the things that I do see is that in the Affordable Care Act, in Medicare, in all of the sort of standards that are being put out there that have to be met in order for the provider to be paid.
So these are like the quality things that, in other words, doctors and healthcare entities are going to be graded in a sense,
exactly,
on making sure they hit certain targets, because prior to this era, basically you did whatever you did, and the more you did, the more you got paid or the more you got reimbursed from
exactly.
Medicare.
Exactly. So where I come in, I think, is that, or people who function in my capacity, I think they are providing that follow-up and follow-through. So in other words, if a physician, and in fact I'm talking with a physician group right now, and they want somebody who will do that follow-up care, to make those phone calls, be in touch with those patients to make sure that they're satisfied, that the patient is satisfied, because ultimately, if there are issues, whether it be their emotional response to what just happened at the doctor's, or whether it be a physical issue that arises, Medicare and they are going to find out about, I mean, they're doing their own sort of surveying of patients, particularly from hospital discharges, et cetera. They're wondering, so did the nurse go over all the medicines? Are you aware of all the side effects? Were you told X, Y, and Z? That's something that's coming from outside, and that's something that we need to address, because otherwise people will not be paid for what their services are.
Do you see your model growing, care coordination or private, as it were, where clients engage with you directly rather than you being a part of a healthcare system or a hospital to provide this level of, you know, what might be called wraparound service? I mean, you're really, in a sense, providing advice, consultation, and coordination all really under one roof. It's pretty remarkable.
That's, as I said, this is a vision that I had probably 15 years ago. This is something that you're going to start seeing more and more of. And so do I see my business model growing? Absolutely. Sort of two words, baby boomers. You know, I mean, it's going to happen, and it is happening.
10,000 a day.
Yeah, exactly. So, yes, I do see my role definitely enlarging over time.
Well, Tracy Davenport, I wish you the best of luck. Thank you so much for coming down and sharing your vision with us.
Thank you so much, John.
Tracy Davenport is a healthcare coordinator based here in Tulsa. She has a long-term background in nursing care and case management. That's Studio Tulsa on Health for today. Our show is produced and edited by Scott Gregory. Opinions of our guests and commentators are their own and do not necessarily reflect those of KWGS or the University of Tulsa. If you've missed a recent show, you can always listen on our archive. Just go to our website, publicradiotulsa.org, and look for the Studio Tulsa tab. I'm John Schumann, sitting in for Rich Fisher. Thanks for listening.